Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rumors Versus Facts, the UGA Sports Recruiting Show, where we kind of wade through all the garbage that's out there on social media and in the internet, if you will, about Georgia recruiting. And we try to wade through all the false rumors, innuendo, clickbait, and give you actual facts about how the University of Georgia is doing on the recruiting trail. Who's visiting? Who's got them favored? Who's looking for them? Who wants them? What's going on? And all that jazz. We got it right here. I'm joined by Lance McCurley, Jed May, Trent Smallwood. I'm Rodney DeBulsey. I'll kind of be your guide as we go through this. It has been a busy couple of weeks. We've mainly my fault. We've had to miss a couple of shows, but we're back today. And we appreciate all of you joining us. It would really help us if you leave a comment. That does wonders for our algorithm. It moves it up and it recommends this show to a lot more people. So if you leave a comment, we'll consider it a personal favor. If you don't like me, don't comment. It's okay. I'll get over it. Real quick, this has been a busy 2 weeks that we kind of missed out on because Georgia started spring practice last week and they had a bunch of visitors. The sheer number of top players that have come through Athens in the last week has been quite impressive. You've had a number one quarterback. You've had a number one outside defensive tackle. You've had a number one offensive tackle. You've had a number one running back. You've had just the creme de la creme of recruiting over a couple of different classes come through Athens. And I think the best thing we could do on tonight's show is kind of go through them, kind of go through the big names. I mean, there's a lot of other guys, and that's why you need to be a member at ujsports.com is because when we're writing about, you know, all these other guys who just got offers or just starting the recruiting or who may, oh, heaven forbid, only be the number three outside linebacker in the nation versus number one, we don't have time to touch on all those tonight. We do want to touch on the peak top guys. And I think we've got a couple items up today. One item on Elijah Griffin up and a couple on David Sanders. And I'm going to go right to Elijah Griffin because I thought this was a big update from our man, Jed May. And Jed, you got to tell, it is behind the paywall. It is behind our paywall at UGASports.com, but it's only 27 cents a day. So if you like this kind of content, go ahead and sign up. But we're going to give it to you for free tonight on this one because we've missed a few shows. So Jed, tell them the kind of, tell them the best thing that came out of that interview.
Yeah, well, for Elijah Griffin to catch those up, five-star defensive lineman out of Savannah. And for those who have read about Elijah before, he's very close with his mom. His mom is a big part of his recruitment. And two things he mentioned last night. One, he said, yeah, my mom has been to two schools. She has been to South Carolina once. She has been to Georgia with me pretty much every time. So that kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. And then he said, yeah, you know, I'll be honest. My mom wants me to go to Georgia. That's where she's at right now. That's what she's thinking. So, yeah, that wasn't like prying it out of him. That wasn't off the record. He offered that up on his own. So Georgia has mom in its corner, as it looks for Elijah Griffin. And he got back up to Georgia for a spring practice. He's seen, like a lot of these guys, he has seen just about everything to see in Athens. Over his recruitment, Georgia was his first offer as eighth grader, as we all know by now. So I think another thing that was interesting, he said he's going to commit and sign both on the early signing day. So, you know, so many of these guys now want to get it done before the season. Elijah's planning to take this all the way to December 18th, or I guess they moved it up December 10th, whatever that signing day ends up being. That's the plan right now, is to commit. So there's a long way to go, but I really like where George is at with Elijah right now.
Trent, you've been doing this a long time, and I think most recently the KJ Bolden saga, Elias Williams down in Kingsland. There's a couple other – Caleb Williams. There's been a lot of big names in the past, current – future recruiting battles in which it has come down to mom. Mom is the decision maker. We always think about dad being the guy, but mom's, I don't say have veto power, but the number one thing we always do is try to find out who's making the decision. Not to say that the kid isn't, but who is the kid relying on the most? You notice right there, Elijah Griffin says, you know, ultimately it's my decision. When the time is right, we'll make the decision. So who's the other part of that? And I'm just thinking, you've covered a lot of guys where you're like, hey, I know the kid wants to go X, but dad wants Y, mom wants Z. and it's almost always Z.
Yep. And that, I mean, that's been a key in a lot of recruitments dating back. When you talk about KJ Bolden, that was the big hurdle that Georgia had to come over because mom was, you know, she was kind of the reason why KJ elected to go to Florida State the first time around because she was not sold on Georgia. She was more sold on Florida State at the time. Georgia had dad in the corner, but did not have mom and did not get mom to come around the corner until at the end. So mom's a key factor, especially in this decision talking about right here. And you know, you talk about it's not always a mom or a dad. Sometimes it's a trainer. Sometimes it's a coach. Sometimes it's a grandfather or grandmother. But in this case, it's a mother. In a lot of cases, it's a mother. And it's always good to have mom on your side. And when it comes time to make a decision, especially a guy like Elijah who's visited Georgia about the same amount of times KJ visited Georgia leading up to it. But you didn't have KJ's mom on Georgia's side, and you do have Elijah's mom on the side. So it's big. And, you know, if Georgia could lock down Elijah and Justice in this class, I mean, I think those are two guys that Georgia could really build this class around because that's your future. You talk about guys that Georgia's put in the NFL and defense line. Trey Scott's done an excellent job, but if you look back at those guys, Trayvon Walker's really the only highly touted prospect coming out that Georgia landed that they put number one in the draft. They had several other five stars with Jordan Davis, who was a three star about this time during the year, moved up to a non-ranked four star. He had Devontae Wyatt, who was kind of lower ranked, went off to prep school. So landing two five-star defensive tackles that can come in and play as freshmen would be huge with, Georgia kind of rebuilding that defensive line.
Yeah, Rhett Womack with the comment there, Elijah and Justice Terry, the same class is going to be nasty.
Especially pairing them up with the defensive backs that Georgia's landed in the past couple of years, I mean, it would just be it'd be crazy.
That group of linebackers they had come in. Yeah. Again, that's a bit to say – it's hard to come in as a freshman defensive lineman and have an impact, but those guys could. But let's look 2 years out. Let's say you got both of them, and that insane class of linebackers that you signed this year. So in 2 years when they're sophomores and all those inside linebackers are juniors in their money-making year, that starts to feel like that 2021 Georgia defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially you got those like CJ Allen, Raylan Wilson, depending on what they do. They're going to be sophomores this year. I guess they'd be juniors by the time Elijah Griffin and Justice Terry would be there. But then you got a stout group that, like you said, that they landed last class. So they just keep building. I mean, that's the key. That's the key with Georgia. They just keep, they don't necessarily just rebuild. They just reload. And it's year after year that they're reloading certain positions. You look at defensive back, they can have transfers. They can have transfers go start elsewhere in the SEC, and they don't miss a beat. And that's what they've done. That's what Kirby's been able to do at Georgia. And, you know, landing these two defensive tackles would just, make the rich richer.
Yeah, if – Lance, this is a complete aside. I know you have a thought on Elijah, but when we look back at this 2021 class, when the guys get drafted, it should be about 10 players drafted for Georgia. And when the draft comes through, is Georgia going to go through and do that thing where other schools do? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, A.D. Mitchell, he was a Georgia Bulldog. So we had 11 guys drafted. Jermaine Burton, well, yeah, he was drafted. Yeah. He was a Bulldog for a while. I mean, I don't see Georgia doing that, but they could.
Yeah. I got the pleasure of seeing Elijah play twice this year in the playoffs and then in the state championship game. And I mean, he's so big and he takes up, he's kind of like high schools play him like Jordan Davis is. He takes up like two or three people and then he lets like other guys eat, like the Damian Guyton kid, a 2027 freshman, is a freaking beast at that, on the defensive line with him at Savannah Christian. But he moves quick for a human that size. And I mean, I just wouldn't want to be on the other end of some of these blows that these kids are taking against him.
He is nasty. All right. So anyway, that's I get excited about defense. I get excited about defensive linemen because they're just so rare. I also get excited about offensive linemen because they too are rare. But we got to talk about everyone's favorite position, quarterback. Juju Lewis came to town again. He's committed to USC. He's the number one player in 2025, number one quarterback in 2025. Reclassified not too long ago, was going to be a 2026 guy. Now he's 2025. You'll hear Julian Lewis, Juju Lewis. People have been talking about him since eighth grade. I mean, it's technically he's only a sophomore, but he's reclassified to 2025. So he'll play one more year, and then he'll go off and be an early enrollee somewhere. Early enrollee, right?
Yeah.
I just wonder because of the whole reclassification thing.
Because I remember when he reclassified, that was a conversation. He tweeted out, like, you know, everything's taken care of. I'll be on campus January 25. So, yeah, in out of high school, I guess a year and a half early, which is crazy to think about. But that's
he's been on an advanced track.
They have been pointing to this for a while. You know, he has been a, I don't know, phenom, for lack of a better word, for years now. And now it's kind of gotten to the, you know, the last time he visited, he told me, he was like, yeah, now it's starting to get, my recruitment's starting to get serious, starting to see who I would be playing with, how I would fit, all that kind of stuff. It's real deal recruiting time, real deal recruiting time on the Juju Lewis front.
Thoughts, Trent?
He's
committed to USC. Why are we even talking about him?
I mean, he keeps showing up in Athens. I think that's the reason why you keep talking to him. And not only there's been very few quarterbacks that have been talked about since the eighth grade. You go back and you look at names such as Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, those type of guys, and you see how they turned out. I mean, all of them won a Heisman, I believe. So, he's the real deal. And I mean, when he keeps showing up in Athens, I think that's a big thing to talk about. But I don't see this one. You know, I put out the class prediction Friday. I don't see. I wouldn't say Georgia is necessarily got a leg up, because I think it's a long ways from being over. I don't think he ends up at USC, but I do think there's going to be several other teams get involved. I saw he's set to visit Auburn. I think that's one school. Got some things going for them with the wide receivers they got on campus. So I think there's going to be several teams involved before all said and done. But he keeps showing up in Athens. I know he's got a good relationship with Bobo and Kirby. So that's definitely one to watch.
All right, where's it go, Lance?
Like,
I'm going to clip this. If you're wrong, I'm a blast.
I don't think he ends up at Georgia. I'll say that. I don't think he ends up at USC. I think he could end up, like Trent said, there are a couple other schools in the mix. It's hard to pinpoint it right now. I'm gonna go Auburn. Take that SEC comment back. He ends up playing for the crooked guy that came from Liberty.
And here's my thing. I think if this is an NIL situation, which it very well could be, there's going to be several schools get involved before all said and done. You look at Texas, you look at Miami, you look at those type of schools that's going to come in, probably fall of his senior season, which is, you know, going to be here before you know it, and throw out big offers. So that's why I'm not necessarily going to say, yes, I think it's a big ordeal that Georgia's getting them on campus, but I think this is far from over.
All right. This will be my take on it. You guys know that I very seldom know what the hell I'm talking about, but talking to people within the program, every time they mention, hey, we got a shot at Juju, I'm like, bullshit. All right. And they're like, why? We're doing more for this one. And James Carraway has a good question here. He says, if Georgia signs Juju, does his pool of collective money come out of what Kirby slots to the other positions, or is he a one-off anomaly that won't dip into other positions' money? Well, remember, Kirby doesn't assign those. He doesn't slot it. He's not allowed to, technically. He can let the collective know that he agrees with what they're doing or disagrees, but he can't direct them. It's, he You have to have that sense of separation, although that's changing. You know, Tennessee, Virginia kind of shot that down when they sued the NCAA. My point is, this would be, under normal working circumstances, Juju Lewis has not come to Georgia because they're not going to match the NILs that the other schools are offering, going to offer. To your point, I agree with you guys. I could see Auburn doing it, Texas. Somebody's going to come in and say, look, that is a Deshaun Watson. That's a Trevor Lawrence. You know, that's a Justin Fields. That's a Caleb Williams. If we want to win a title, we got to get him. And they'll go to a big donor and say, look, we need $5 million, and they'll get it. You know, it'll be something crazy. And it'll be just like the Caleb Downs situation where, hey, Georgia's offering $300,000. Ohio State offers $100,000. How do you say no to three times what you're getting? So, but the reason Georgia does have a chance is Georgia is going to do a one-off. It won't be like everybody else's. And I know that Kirby did not want to upset the apple cart and, you know, have guys with a huge outlier, but that's what they're going to see at the next level. And he's going to have to tell those guys, look, I know you're a second string offensive tackle and you're only making a 10th, yeah, 50th of what Juju's making. That's because you're a second string offensive tackle and he's a generational quarterback. If you make it to the league, you're going to see the same thing. You know, because we're watching all those guys move around and they're making crazy money. That's going to trickle down to some point, and you can say, hey, it'll mess up the culture in the locker room, but it won't be as bad as when NIL first started, and you could bring in an offensive lineman making $30,000 a month who's a true freshman, and your starting right tackle isn't making, you know, he's making $300 a month. So it won't be like that. It'll be different. So do I think Georgia has a chance? Absolutely. Are they doing everything possible? Absolutely. Are they emphatic that they think they're going to land him, or at least they're in the running? Absolutely. Will they? It's just easier to bet the field. Mm-hmm. It is easier. Am I wrong, Jed? I mean, you follow golf. It's, remember when Tiger Woods was the man? Everybody's like, I'm going to bet on Tiger. It's like, well, yeah, but you could take the whole field.
Yeah.
And Tiger's, he's likely going to win it, but just one in the drink.
And like, he could stick with USC. I mean, listen, like, there's a reason he committed to USC in the first place. You go to USC, you're going to put up crazy numbers. You get a good shot at winning a Heisman. He'd have a decent shot at starting year one. And if we're talking about things on the NIL front, you're sitting courtside at Lakers games. You know, you're doing all kind of stuff that Athens and even Atlanta doesn't really have to offer. So, I personally haven't gotten myself to the point of talking myself into, yeah, you know, Lewis would come here. I don't think it's at all impossible that he jumps to Georgia. There's a good shot. Like you said, Trent, he keeps showing up in Athens. You got to follow the visits at some point. I don't know. Like you said, there's going to be the potential for so much late movement in this when people – and he has said he wants to have it shut down one way or another by the time the senior season starts. That is not going to stop Texas, Miami, Oregon, whoever, from coming in about October and say, hey, I know you're shut down, but here's what we could do for you. Do you want to come on a visit? So I don't know. Right now I think Georgia would have the best shot of flipping him out of anyone right now, just because he's been to Athens so many times. There's so many longstanding relationships there, but it's going till December, no matter what, I think.
And another thing is, we talk about Juju going to USC, putting up big numbers, but they're changing conferences, and that's getting significantly harder to go up. And I know Iowa couldn't score on us four if we were playing defense, but they're good on defense. And I think the defense side of the defense of teams that he's USC quarterback's going to be going up against, you're not going to put those kind of numbers up. You know, moving forward. So you're looking at what they were putting up, Heisman numbers on 8-4, 9-3 seasons, maybe 10-2. It was going to turn into 7-5, 6-6s if you don't learn how to play defense if you're USC. So, you know, the offense is getting – it's going to be harder to put up those kind of numbers at USC as a quarterback, you know, and moving forward.
I think Jed nailed it, though, with the some of the reasons he committed to USC. You remember when Caleb transferred out there and the production values on the transfer video and all the celebrities and all that stuff. there is some of that appeal to that. And mm-hmm. you know, if you're playing in Middle Georgia, thought of being a headliner in Los Angeles, I can see that. But here's my thought is we have, to your point, let's say August, he's like, I'm sticking with UC, I'm flipping to Georgia, I'm going to Auburn, going to Alabama, whoever, and I'm done. And Ohio State loses to Michigan again, four in a row. You're going to tell me that someone's like, and Ohio State's like, look, whatever he wants, whatever it takes. You know, Texas, they're like, hey, we had Ewers, you know, we had Manning. It's just, we're not getting it done. You know, we got to have X. Somebody, or Georgia, you know, hey, he's still committed to USC. And somebody at Georgia, and I know some of these guys, you know, they're big hitters. They're like, all right, what's his number? What's it going to take? I'm going to get it. So
I do think one thing working in Georgia's favor is the fact that Carson Beck is a senior. This is his last year, and it's open competition next year. And I think that works in Georgia's favor a little bit. I think other schools, you know, have a, you know, like a Texas has a Arch Manning. Ohio State has, I don't know, several quarterbacks that they got going on. So I think you do have an open competition, Athens. I do think that helps a little bit, but you know, that's the case anywhere. And also money talks.
I think you're right. Let's bring up another five star. One of the best ones, the number two. So we talked about the number one player in the nation. Let's talk about the number two player in the nation. We got Jed doubled up on screen.
Jed, I was going to say, man, I'm so glad they changed the thumbnail on that YouTube because originally it was so bad. I was freeze framed like in a grotesque little pose there, but yeah.
Nice neck. Way to go.
Yeah. But yeah, David Sanders was back, and he's a guy, honestly, you could make an argument is the number one player in the class, even with Juju Lewis reclassified now. You know, his mother told national analyst Adam Friedman, who again did me a solid by changing that thumbnail there, that a lot of this weekend's visit focused on academics. And I think the quote she had was something to the effect of, we saw, you know, if David were to commit there, we saw exactly what the step-by-step plan would be from signing day to the NFL. So that's a big one there. And then, you know, he talked more about Georgia. He locked in an official visit to Georgia for, let me look. I put it down earlier for June 7th through 9th, that second weekend in June. So Georgia and Clemson are kind of going head-to-head those first two weekends in June. He'll be at Clemson, then he'll be at Georgia. So, but he's got a relationship with Stacey Searles dating back to eighth grade. Searles was his first offer when he was at North Carolina. So many things working in Georgia's favor on that front, but Clemson and Matt Luke have come on super, super strong over the past, I don't know, 2 months or whatever it's been since Luke took over at Clemson. So I think it's Georgia and Clemson battling for this. And I think it very well could come down to those two official visits in May. And you think of last year, a guy like Sammy Brown, who was expected to visit Clemson, then visit Georgia. Clemson got him to pull the trigger and commit to Clemson on that official to Clemson before he even got to Georgia. So if you're Clemson, you are, I'm sure they're going to pull out all the stops to get David Sanders on board before he even gets to Athens. So yeah, that's the battle it's looking like right now. But yeah, Georgia getting him on campus again is you can never have a guy like David Sanders on campus too many times, that's for sure.
I think it's important to note too that he's coming, you know, that second weekend in June. When I talked to Travis Smith last week, wide receiver out of Westlake, Travis was like, I'm coming the first weekend, and I know that that's, you know, when they want most of their guys that they think are going to commit, they're going to join him. And just even though it being the second weekend, you know, they're still going to host a lot of, you know, guys that they think they're going to land. And so getting him there, you know, right after Clemson, I think is probably pretty important.
You look back in this prior class and look at who Georgia was able to land from those first couple weekends that they hosted. I mean, they hosted Nate Frazier on an unofficial visit. They hosted Justin Williams. They hosted J.J. A. They just hosted a slew of guys. K.J. Bolden was one, I believe, that ended up at Georgia. So those first two weekends are huge. You know, it kind of sets the tone for what's moving forward. And Georgia, you know, was able to carry that momentum. You know, the class before, we saw the same thing happen, and Georgia missed out on a lot of their top targets. But Georgia was able to do what Georgia was able to do last class, you know, having those guys come late May, early June. They were able to lock down a lot of those guys, whether it be then or, you know, August months or even closer to National Signing Day. But you look back, those were some key weekends that they were on campus.
Yeah, that guy, I'm just watching the clips here. I'm listening to what you guys say, but it's hard to not watch him play. Saw him in that state championship game, play offense, defense, played every snap. I think he came out on kickoffs.
He's built like no offensive tackle Georgia's had. I mean, literally, I can't recall offensive tackle that he's built like. I mean, just look at his hips. I mean, he's slim. He looks like a daggum tight end.
I was gonna say, yeah, he looks more like a tight end than he does.
But in
the universe where Darnell Washington becomes an offensive tackle, this is what he looks like.
I remember me and Jed were at the Under Armour camp last year, and I was like, who is that offensive tackle over there in the offensive line group that looks like – I mean, it looks tiny. And he was like, oh, that's David Sanders. And I'm like – then we watch him run the 40, and he just – unbelievable. And I'm like, this is nuts. And then you watch him one-on-ones, and he's just stonewalling people.
And light on his feet.
He's crazy. I mean – this is like
watching slip. There's no plotting. I mean, he just glides across the field. I mean,
you talk about a generational type talent, and you often talk about the quarterback position. This is a generational type offensive tackle. I mean, literally, I haven't seen many like him with his build and his athleticism, and you know, his ability, his length. I mean, he's long. He when he gets his hands on you, you're not knocking him back.
Yeah.
And his ability to get out like just like that, just getting out on screens. I mean, you're used to seeing guys like Andrew Thomas or Xavier Truss or somebody like that get out there. But just somebody with that athleticism getting out, I mean, he could.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. To me, this is a guy who he looks like Broderick Jones did. You know, just little waist, giant shoulders, you know, just high butt. Got the length that you want. I mean, if you're drawing him, you know, you're like, hey, here's the ideal thing. Huge hands, a great family, you know, great kid, no ego, no, you know, look at me type stuff. This is the kid you want. Looks like Broderick Jones, but has the polish of Andrew Thomas early on. Just to me, and he can play both ways. Again, I think he'd be, you guys talk about he looks like a tight end. Hell, to me, when I saw him line up at defensive end, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, let him come for that. And he loves playing both ways. So I could see – I'm not saying he's going to, but you're right. This is a generational guy. Big that Georgia had him back on here.
I see this as a guy, as you get into goal line situations, bringing in a sixth offensive tackle and him being an eligible wide receiver and being able to run a route. I mean
– Well, we could play this game because, you know, we went with Elijah Griffin. You know, they've got there's questions about Justice Terry. You know, he's committed to Georgia. He didn't come up and visit last weekend, but somebody asked about that. Julian Lewis, you know, we talk about him. But to me, this might be the guy you need more than any of them. Georgia needs defensive linemen. You need elite defensive tackles. You need elite defensive ends. You need your interior defensive guys. But just look at that SEC championship game. Maris Mims goes out. Game's over. You only lost by three. You almost won it. But you started winning titles when you had the Andrew Thomases, the Broderick Joneses, you know, the Amarius Mims of the world. You know, you had the Warren McClendons, and when you had elite offensive line. And the Georgia's biggest problem, you mentioned goal line, right? Converting third and short. There's just something about knowing you can go off that left tackle when you need that third and one. That's just in. You can't put a value on it. That's just my thoughts on it. Yeah, Isaiah Wilson. Isaiah Wilson was just a monster. But yeah, but again, when you had Isaiah Wilson's, things were different. I know we're gonna have to dip down all the way to a 4-star. This is, yeah, the wheels are coming off in the Georgia recruiting class. But let's talk about Tylan Taylor.
Yeah, a guy from, I think he's from. Georgia's like all of a sudden in on all these receivers from the Midwest. Taylor is from Illinois. I believe. And he was one of those guys when James Coley took over, he was in that inner circle of guys that was contacted pretty quick after. And he's going to be back this weekend. And we have talked about this with guys from far away. Ryan Montgomery is one. When you make a bunch of unofficial visits to Athens on your own dime, that means a lot. And Talen, I believe, was in Athens in January or February, maybe. Let's see. Let me look here. Yeah, he visited Athens February 3rd. So a month and a half later, he's visiting this weekend. So two unofficial visits in a month and a half coming down from Illinois is noteworthy for sure. There's a lot of guys kind of mixed in there. Receiver, the Tim, Travis Smith, CJ Wiley, Eugene Hilton, Joshua Moore, you know, a lot of guys kind of battling for, you know, say 3-4 spots. But I mean, yeah, you look at he can high point the ball with the best of them. So another notable receiver getting on campus this weekend.
If I'm not mistaken, he visited in the fall as well to a game. I think one of us caught up with him, and yeah, he's been here several times to Athens. Mm-hmm. And I think just in my conversation with him back at that point, he was, I believe it was the Ole Miss game right after him and I, or whatever game it was, him and I were talking about just, you know, how Georgia uses, you know, their wide receivers. And he goes, I love how they spread the ball around. And, you know, a lot of schools, a lot of kids that we talk to, you know, that's kind of a point where teams can like recruit against him. And they say that Georgia doesn't, you know, develop wide receivers and get you your stats. But he was one of those kids that didn't buy into that.
There's been a lot of them. To your point, the kids that I speak to that talk about how, well, Georgia doesn't throw the ball, wide receivers. When I say kids, wide receivers, or heck, even some tight ends. You know, well, Georgia's RBU, I don't know they throw it a whole lot. I kind of make a mental note. I don't know that we need to follow up with him very often. Well, we'll stay in touch, but I don't need to follow him. But Taylor and a couple others are like, no, man, they throw the ball a lot. I mean, yeah, they're always going to run it because it's Georgia, but they spread the ball around and they can develop me. And when you get a kid saying that, then you think that's a good chance. I'm glad that he's coming down. The fact that he's coming from where's Geneva, Illinois? That's all. Jed, you've been up that way.
So I'm going to guess close to Chicago because that's the only one I know. So, but it's weird. Like, there's him. Nitro Tuggle's from Indiana. Eugene Hilton's from Indiana. So, like, all of a sudden, Georgia is just – it is all over the Midwest looking for these receivers now.
I'm so used to – and now you got James Coley back. Maybe open up Miami and the Fort Lauderdale area for some of these wide receivers and skill guys. So, anyway, fun to think about. But let's go back to the big offensive, the big uglies. We talked about David Sanders, but to me, a guy that, that's your starting offensive tackle, but you need somebody to play interior. And I think Georgia needs to go all out for Zaire Addison. Lance, tell us what's the latest on Zaire.
Well, Zaire was, after I chased him down for an interview, he gave me a few minutes and I was talking to him, and Georgia was the first school that he mentioned. And I was like, well, I work with UGASports.com. Tell me about Georgia. And he was like, man, they've just been blowing up my phone a lot here recently. I think Georgia offered him early February, I believe. And since then, he hasn't visited campus. He was going to visit campus last week, but it just didn't work out. He was in Atlanta when I talked to him at a 7-on-7 camp, but just kind of watching him, I was very impressed. He's fast and he's pretty versatile. He was like, I can play 1 through 5. He was like, Georgia likes my versatility. They think that I can play all 5 spots on the offensive line.
What else does he do?
I saw him play defense. I saw him play defense and rush the passer in that 5-on-5. Version of the camp, and he blew through a lot of defensive or offensive linemen, kind of like we've seen with some of these other former Georgia players that on the defensive side that got drafted. But I asked him, are you going to play defense at all? He goes, nah, I'm just offense.
Yeah, well, I was also thinking The guy runs 100 meter and 200 meter.
Yeah, that is true. And he runs a good time for a big guy. And that was one of the first things he mentioned to me. It was like, yeah, I run track too, just to, you know, stay in shape.
And the thing that caught my attention was when I saw him in Orlando, just going through the drills. Yeah, most of those guys are, when they're warming up or they're going through the position, individual position drills, they're just trying to, I don't say get through it, but they're just waiting until they get to the one-on-ones because they want that film of them going up against some of the best defensive players and trying to stonewall them. You know, they want that win. They're really anxious for the one-on-ones. You know, you're not going to impress anybody showing them how quickly you can step over the bags on the ground or, you know, run your plank drills or whatever. But this kid goes through it like everyone's watching. Like Stacy Searles is already on him. I mean, he goes legitimately two speeds faster than everybody else. And I'm like, wow, this kid's different. And again, then you come to find out he runs – the 100 is a horrible race, you know, for an offensive lineman. The 200 is just masochistic.
Brutal.
It's a nasty race for whoever runs it.
Yeah. You know?
400 and 800 are worse, but at least, you know, you very seldom see an offensive lineman do that. But any kid that wants to run the 200, you're like, this is – that's something you would think Brock Bowers would do. You know, it's just like he just likes pain, wants to push himself. If you've got an offensive lineman that's willing to run 200 meters and then wrestle – he's also a wrestler. Give me Zaire Addison and David Sanders and then Justice Terry and Elijah Griffin. That foursome, I don't care who you get, you're going to win a championship. That's all there is to it. Jed, Trent, any thoughts on Zaire that we didn't cover?
Yeah, well, there's several of these, like, uber-athletic guys in this class. David Sanders is one. Addison's one. Josh Petty is one.
Yeah, I forgot about
Josh. These guys not super huge, but have got just athleticism for days. I mean, I know Josh Petty is a wrestler as well. And I don't know if that's a conscious decision. I don't know if that is just how this cycle is shaking out, but there's certainly a lot of these guys who are just the athletic freak types at offensive tackle. And Addison is kind of the latest end of the mix. Like, I think Lance is in your story. They were offered him, February 7th. Yeah. So Georgia's just getting into it, but the fact that they've made such an impression in 6 weeks pretty much is definitely bodes well. And the next step is getting him on campus, making that big impression. And then, I would guess angling for an official visit this summer, once that time gets here.
Awesome. All right. I guess we need to talk defensive line a little bit more because we hit on the offensive line. Let's get Jed's thoughts on, and this is from 3 days ago, but I think we should definitely talk about him. Zion Grady was on yet another visit. Jed, tell us what happened when Grady came to town.
Well, I didn't know Zion Grady was going to be here. And last Thursday, we got our rare practice viewing, and I'm walking down the sideline. I'm like, wait, that looks like Zion Grady. And sure enough, it was him. So back on campus, he's another guy like Taylen Taylor, was back on campus. He visited campus February 3rd, was back on campus just over a month later. And he's like, yeah, I want to make sure I see everything, get a full experience in my recruiting. Spend some time with Chidera, Uzo, Daribe. A lot of these guys, these first week of practices, they talk about the energy, the intensity at practice. And, you know, you see right there, he says he loves the teaching style of Chidera Uzodiribe at outside linebacker. So you look at him, Bryce Davis, who visited over the weekend. We got a story on him coming tomorrow. There's a lot of very talented edge players I think Georgia's in a good spot with right now. So, but yeah, Grady, like you said, Rowdy, has been on campus like a ton. He's been decommitted from Alabama in the wake of the Nick Saban stuff, and it seems like Georgia has really kind of surge to the forefront since then. I would say I like where they're at for Zion Grady right now. And he impressed at the Under Armour camp as well a couple weeks ago, I might add, too.
Yeah.
Trent, you mentioned in passing for folks that who are not members of UJSports.com, remember it's only 27 cents a day. You mentioned you put out your projected 2025 class. Now, that's not to say that you know exactly who's coming, but you've been pretty slap on for the last 7-8 years. How long have you been with us?
Well, I know I was here back in 2000. Probably since about 2015. So probably since about right around the time Kirby arrived in Athens.
All right. So folks that don't know, Trent's projected class is basically he has a list of who he thinks Georgia's going to sign. Here's the whole class. And he does it, you know, almost a year out. We add guys, we take guys out as things happen, you know. But most of the time, he's got the core of it. Was Zion Grady in your projected class?
He was. He was. And I do think this is where I talked about that Georgia's going to benefit from Nick Saban leaving Alabama and the staff that they hired in Alabama, which is offensive staff. They're going you see what Alabama's been able to do the past few years. They put outside linebacker or edge guy after edge guy in the first round of the NFL draft. And you know, Zion Grady was another one that was headed to Alabama if Nick Saban was there. He was going to be another, future top round pick on the edge. And I think these are the guys that Georgia's kind of missed out some. You look at the lack of depth Georgia's had at the position. I know they landed some talented guys, two classes ago with Damon Wilson and those guys. But these are the type of guys that Georgia's missed out on.
He was already committed to Bama before Georgia even got into it.
This is where Georgia could really benefit from the Nick Saban departure, especially at the edge position. I know Georgia stacked up inside linebacker and stacked up other positions, but you see there was still a weakness at outside linebacker. Even when Nolan Smith was there, the lack of depth was what showed when he left, and Georgia was still able to win the national championship. But landing a guy like Zion Grady, kind of brings that those edge guys back to Athens, like you saw in the early tenure of Kirby Smart, Lorenzo Carter's, the Adam Anderson's, the Nolan Smith's, those type of prospects. And he is in my predicted class, and I like where Georgia sits for Zion Grady. In the spring, going into his senior season.
What sticks out for me about Grady is just his length. He just kind of looks like I've seen a couple clips of him blocking field goals. He looks like – I mean, I'm sure if he ends up at Georgia, he's going to be great in defense. But I think he could end up being a great special teams player too and being one of those guys that kind of on field goals. And
Boss Bailey.
Yeah. I mean, just sticking his hands up in the air.
He kind of reminds me of like a Justin Williams. I know Justin Williams is slated to play on the inside, but just his length and his, his the way his frame is, I think Justin Williams could play on the edge too. But I love Zion Grady. His speed off the edge, his athleticism, like Lance said, his length. He could do a lot of things, especially early in his career. He could be a situational pass rusher, third down guy. Find his way onto the field as a every down guy, but he could do a lot of things for Georgia.
Imagine Justice Terry, Elijah Griffin, Zion Grady in the same recruiting class.
With what Georgia has built at the other positions, I mean, you put
look at Jan's going.
You look at what they've done at inside linebacker, what they've done at in the secondary. I think this class is about really getting the not even front seven, but defensive line and outside linebackers, just restocking that. I mean, you look at, like you said already, Grady, Griffin, Terry, some of these other guys that Kevin Wynn, guy Lance, Christian Garrett, Isaiah Gibson is a guy we hadn't even talked about who visited this weekend that Georgia's in good shape with. There's so many guys, Bryce Davis, there's so many guys from outside linebacker, five tech, three tech. Kevin Wynn could be the nose guy that Georgia is in position to just absolutely clean up along, like I said, that front five, I guess you could call it, the three linemen and the two outside linebackers. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out over the next 9 months until signing day to get the game wrecker types back, along the front of that defense.
I was just thinking about the other day, you said with Griffin and Justice Terry, if you line those two up with, say, a JJA with the inside linebackers that they've had and throw in a Zion Grady at outside linebacker and what Georgia's recruited at defensive back with KJ Bolden and
Robinson
Andre Evans. I mean, it's just riches after riches. I mean, that could be, like you said, bringing back that 2021 defense. So Georgia very well could be on its way of doing that just with these past couple of recruiting classes. You know, just building that talent.
Yeah, I'm looking. Thanks for Chris Hayes for joining us, and James Caraway, and Mr. Wilson, and Randy Payne, and Splash, and all the folks that have hit the like button. We appreciate that. Linda, Evan, Sean, John, Dalton, David, Gladys. We appreciate the likes on Facebook, and we appreciate everybody sharing this on YouTube. It means a lot to us. I think, I don't say Zion's the first domino, but just the fact that when you start talking to kids now, we're a few months out of it, few months away from when Nick Saban came out and retired. You're starting to see when they talk about elite coaches, you know, it's a lot more Kirby Smart and those other guys. Now, there's not a lot. Before, it was always, you know, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Dabo. It's kind of fallen to, you know, Ryan Day.
Lincoln Riley.
So, yeah, Lincoln Riley, the guy, Harbaugh. They're not talking about them as much. So I'm just saying
Harbaugh's
that.
Harbaugh's gone.
Yeah, I'm just saying he's out of it. I don't want to sound greedy. You know, like, yeah, George is going to get Zion Grady and Justice Terry and Elijah Griffin and Bryce, you know. But I'm thinking this is the year that Kirby might be able to pull that off. So a lot of fun. All right, but let's talk. Let's switch gears real quick. Talk 2026. There's just – we won't do it too much because we're going to finish up here shortly. And we do have a special guest coming on that I want folks to listen to. But talk to me about the number one running back in the nation that visited recently, Jed. I want to – hear more about Savion.
Savion Hiter.
Hiter? Hiter.
Hiter, I think, is his last
name. I like Hiter better, baby.
I know what his last name isn't. Yeah, he's a guy who honestly, I wasn't that familiar with. And then I looked him up after I talked to him. Like, oh, this guy's the number one running back in the class out of Virginia, out of Woodbury Forest Academy or school. And it's interesting. Woodbury Forest, like a boarding school, type of thing. And Kirby Smart actually told Hiter, yeah, I spent a summer there as a guest coach instructor thing, which I didn't know. I don't know how many people knew that about Kirby Smart, but he spent a summer at this school in Virginia, which is random. He knows Chris Cole, who's from Virginia, Kirk Benedict, Georgia special teams coordinator's got Virginia ties. So a lot of Virginia ties. Chris Jones, another guy from Virginia on the team now. So a lot of Virginia ties were kind of, I guess, emphasized. And he wasted no time. This was the first day of spring practice a week ago tomorrow that Savion got down here. So that is an interesting thing. He got to meet Josh Crawford as well, Georgia's new running backs coach. So an interesting guy as you look out, like you said, Roddy, number one running back in the 26 class. That board, I guess, is still kind of wide open for anybody to step up and be that number one guy. And Savion Hiter is certainly a guy that Georgia has impressed early on.
I love it. Let's get to some of the questions real quick. We had a Damn Beast Media on there. We see him at the comment section. We always appreciate guys like him, who has a fantastic TikTok channel, by the way. He's got a question about Jakeem Stewart. Says this is a Georgia generation, kind of what I was just talking about there. They're talking more and more about Georgia. What are the chances Jakeem Stewart, who is recently ranked number one in that 2026 class, winds up anywhere other than Georgia?
Very high. He just, you know, Georgia was in there early, and as his recruitment has progressed, the focus has kind of shifted to some other schools like Oregon's in there, Ohio State, LSU, obviously being from Louisiana. So I honestly don't think Georgia's really in it that much anymore. He's a hell of a player, and he, like Julian Lewis, he's been one of these guys
I've ever seen.
He's a freak show. And remember a couple of years ago, Roddy, we talked to him and his voice sounded like he was like 30 years old. Like he has been a full grown man for a long time. He's going to be a baller, like All-American type, wherever he goes. But that is, unless something crazy changes, that place will not be Georgia.
DeFranklin31 has some number of questions. We'll work through some of those. He says, we talked about Elijah Griffin earlier. He says, Elijah Griffin's words in the article seem to suggest that UGA has an insurmountable lead other than a boatload of money. Is that a presupposition? Is that presupposition off base?
Presupposition. I'll have to look that up after the show. But, you know, yeah, I think
is it true?
I wouldn't say Georgia's lead is necessarily insurmountable other than money. I do think Georgia's lead is pretty healthy right now. And I asked him about NIL because he said he's visiting USC, Colorado, and maybe Oregon through the rest of the spring. And I asked him about NIL, and he basically gave the read from the Kirby Smart handbook of NIL. He's like, yeah, it's great. It's cool for players. The big money comes on the back end of the NFL. And my goal is to be developed and be in the NFL for a really long time. So I don't think NIL is going to be a deciding factor there. But again, you can't ever rule it out, as we've learned. Because NIL can make these things change really quick. But yeah, I really like where Georgia sits with him right now, for sure.
Gotcha. All right, we'll go to Trent for this one. Which offensive tackle does UGA have a better chance of signing, Josh Petty or David Sanders?
I think it's David Sanders right now. I think Georgia is in a good position about them, but I think David Sanders I think Georgia had a all the momentum before Clemson came along with Matt Luke. I think there's momentum there, but I also think that the relationship at Georgia is still very strong. I think that gives them an excellent chance of landing David Sanders. Now, I do think Josh Petty is definitely an option as well, but I think Georgia sits better with David Sanders than many think.
Okay. Towards the group, anybody can jump in and answer this. What happened with Tay Harris? It seems like he was locked in, then suddenly he decommitted. Was this a NIL casualty?
Ending up at Clemson, he committed to Clemson today. I don't think it's an NIL casualty. I just think that's one where there was a coaching change, and that sometimes it happens with coaching. It seems like he posted a 4.38 at the Under Armour camp a couple weeks ago. He seems like he's been doing well for himself, and he, like I said, committed to Clemson today. So, you know, it is what it is. He was a guy who was a little bit of a tweener. Like, is he a safety? Is he a corner? Is he a star? He doesn't exactly necessarily fit the mold of one particular position. Maybe that had something to do with it. But yeah, I don't think it was NIL necessarily. I just think it's one of those things that that can happen sometimes in the midst of a coaching change.
Yeah, and I had some conversation about him this weekend, and I think he's a baller. I think he's really good. There is. A size issue there that you know what Georgia's recruited in the past when it comes to length and size on the outside, and you're looking at a guy that's probably 5'10" tops, and that's not what Georgia's looked for at the cornerback position you know in the past. But you've seen guys like Javon Board and those type of guys flourish in Georgia's system. So I think there was you know like Jed said it. He was kind of a tweener, and size was an issue. But at the end of the day, he found a home and found a good one. So can't blame him for that.
Gotcha. All right, Lance, here's a tough one for you. What percentage of a lead would you give Georgia for C.J. Wiley and Travis Smith as of March 18th, 2024?
I would say
zero,
that Travis
100, what?
I'd say Travis Smith's more trending more towards like 75-85%, just based off my conversation with him last week. He absolutely loves Georgia. He loves the way, and then Jed talked to him. He loves the way they practice, and he just wants to get back for an official visit. So I would say Travis Smith about 80%. Wiley, I'm a little bit, it's hard to tell. They're both in-state kids. Wiley, you know, just up the road at Milton, but I know that he's got a few other offers, and he's looking to get back to Georgia as well. So I would say for him, probably like 65%. But Smith, I'm pretty high on that he ends up at UGA, a little bit over Wiley.
Yeah, that Josh Crawford hired sure doesn't help there.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt. What I say doesn't help, that would be incorrect. Does not hurt. So, I like that one. He's got a good question there. DeFranklin31 has a good question about how would you rank C.J. Wiley, Travis Smith, Eugene Helton, Taylor and the other wide receivers and interest in terms of skill and impact at Georgia. Don't know that we can get through all that one tonight, but that might make a neat kind of hot board where we rank them. You know, it's like, you know, here are our thoughts about how they line up. Now, some big donors not too long ago got to go through the Athletic Association, and they were walked into the room where they have the boards 2025, 2026, 2027, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, you know, or the number of where they wind up on the board. None of those bastards took a picture for us, though. It would have been nice, but just so you know, that's how they. This is how it works. When we talk about who's on Georgia's board, there's actually a room with the boards up, you know, and it has class of 2025, class of 2026, 2027, and it has who they want and it has little notes beside them, you know, why they want. So we could, in other words, it'd be fun for us to guess with that, you know, Wiley, Smith, Hilton, and Taylor. And I could put in a future cast for Eugene Hilton to come to Georgia. Saw him at practice the other day, him and his dad. I think he winds up at Georgia. So we'll see. That's going to work out for him. Space Pope 3, who always has good questions, says, what's the latest on Eric Winters? Is he a priority at Star? And is Zaire Addison at the same priority levels as Sanders and Petty?
Yeah, with Winters, I think they're looking at him as maybe more of like an inside linebacker. He's another little bit of a tweener. He is now a teammate of Zion Grady's at Enterprise High School in Alabama because Zion just moved there. Georgia likes him a lot. I don't know exactly where he would fit in the defense. I believe they're recruiting him more as an inside guy. And as far as Addison, yeah, I mean, that quote Lance had where he's like, yeah, Georgia's blowing up my phone pretty much every day. That seems to be a pretty good indicator that they like him and want him a lot. So, yeah, they want Zaire Addison pretty bad, it looks like.
Gotcha. All right, GoDogs 212 says, is there any reason to worry about Justice Terry? He didn't visit last week.
I mean, yeah, Trent, I know you've been adamant about this too. I think he ends up at Georgia. I don't think it would take a whole lot to get him out of Athens. He's a Georgia guy, committed early, his trainer, as you've said a bunch, Trent, trained Trayvon Walker. So who better to sell Georgia's development than a guy who saw his guy go from, you know, a high school guy to number one pick in the draft. He's taking visits as he should, you know, he's doing due diligence and whatever as you ought to when you're a number, whatever, six player in the country. But in the end, I don't think he's leaving Athens.
Yeah, he trained Trayvon, and he's a huge Georgia fan. I think that's another thing that works in his favor. But I thought that the team that had the best chance to flip Justice Terry was Alabama with Nick Saban. And when Nick Saban retired, I think that was a, you know, obviously we talk about Nick Saban retiring, how it benefits Georgia. I think that's another benefit to Georgia. It kind of eases the pressure there.
Mm-hmm. Last question before we get to our special guest. Dog B says, who do you have your eye on that are the closest in their decision-making process right now?
I'd say Eugene Hilton.
Yeah, I mean, there's that is a good question. I'm trying to think of a guy, because there's so many guys at this point, guys want to, you know, go through the spring, take visits, and then maybe decide late April or May. I mean, you look at a guy like I said, Hilton. I mean, maybe could one of those receivers come off the board, whether it's Hilton, Smith, one of those guys leading into the summer? Mm-hmm. Does Georgia figure out a defensive back before the summer? That would be interesting to watch. But yeah, so many guys at this point are, we're either going to go through the spring, commit April or May, or we're going to take our officials in the summer. And it's interesting because there were so many more guys, it feels like, committed in the class by this time last year. And now you look at the 25 class and there's, what, six guys or seven guys? So a lot more meat on the bone, I think, this year as compared to last year, for sure.
I think wide receiver is interesting for the fact that we talk about Wiley, we talk about Travis, but you're talking about one, maybe two spots left in that class. I think, you know, we talked about over the weekend that Eugene might be asked to come back and work out in front of the staff this summer, maybe June, before they start taking more wide receivers. So I think that could push that wide receiver back because you're only looking for one or two, and you got Taylor, you got Eugene, you got several other guys, you know, on the target list that are out of state. So I think you're going to see some workouts before some takes at a certain position. If you know, I think Travis Smith has a spot. I think CJ Wiley has a spot, but I think you're going to see some workouts before some takes are made because this is a stacked class, and I think you got to be careful with your choices at this point. You don't have to rush to any.
Yeah, to your point, I've seen a couple of guys that we thought were close to making a decision or announcing, and we're told Georgia's holding off a little bit. So they're being very picky this year. So in answer to Dogby's question, I don't know who's close to making a decision right now. So, well, let's rephrase it this way. A few decisions have been made. We're told to hold off. So it's a little bit interesting. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for that part of the show. I do want to bring on a couple special guests. Now, if you watch our shows, you look in the upper right-hand corner, you see that we are sponsored by the Rogue Shop and our friends at the Rogue Shop. You can see I have them listed out there. But my buddies here, I got some of their gummies that they sent me. They are fantastic, and we talk about them all the time. We wouldn't have the show if it weren't for the Rogue Shop, and we're going to bring on the owners of the Rogue Shop to kind of tell you the story because people are like, well, why do you have them as a sponsor? It's because I found out their story that I wanted to have them on. So I'm going to bring on Richard Charon. And it's the Rogue Shop, folks. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Because we're awesome, Roddy. That's why.
Hey, I got to warn everybody.
Sponsoring UGA Sports, you guys have been doing nothing but winning. I'm not saying y'all own that to us.
He came as a sponsor and the Georgia won two titles.
I'll take 1% credit.
And coincidence, causality, I don't know, but it is what it is. And they're god awful Texas fans.
Oh, they never mentioned that.
Well, here's the thing. So, Richard, I'll get you to tell your story real quick. But every time we talk, folks, we talk Arch Manning or recruiting, and he follows recruiting. The reason we have him on a recruiting show, he follows recruiting, he follows football. Just like anybody else. And again, he started on our Texas site, and I spoke to, our Texas people, and they're like, oh, we love it. You know, this is a great sponsorship. Our patrons, our subscribers love his products. And I'm like, really? Okay. Cause I didn't know anything about it. And then I was talking to Richard, and Richard, kind of tell me your backstory real quick and how you came into this, because you're not the typical, I mean, you are the long-haired hippie-looking guy there, but that's not how you started out.
No, I didn't. I was actually I'm a disabled veteran. Never used cannabis in my life until about 4 years ago when I started Rogue Shop. My buddy from Oregon owned a marijuana farm and kind of got to talking about it, and I was always like, you know, against it and all this kind of stuff. So he kind of opened my eyes.
I know the drugs.
And one day I was complaining about my knee. I had, you know, knee injury. I used to play college football in Iowa and all this stuff, and my old military days, and my knee was just destroyed, so I had a ton of pain, and my buddy gave me this marijuana salve, the one that we sell now. It's not marijuana, but pretty much the same thing. Put it on my knee, and you know, CBD was just now starting and it was popping up all over the place, and put it all over my knee, and it took away about 30% of my pain, and I was like, wow, like
that's the one.
It gave me relief, and it made me realize that, you know, this plant, this little green plant that grows, that's a weed, you know, is a true medicinal plant. So, and I grew up growing bonsais and plants. I'm, you know, a big time grower, and now I grow cannabis for a living, and I love plants and love everything about the medicinal benefits, from the, you know, helping people sleep to chronic pain to stress and anxiety. You know, we've helped a lot of people out over the years, and nothing feels better than that, you know, in my life. Of all things I've done, helping people is definitely the most rewarding.
So, college football player, vet, Army?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. That's where my son's going. So, that's good. We don't have to make fun of you being Air Force.
I joined right after I was playing college football, saw the towers get bombed, and packed up my shit and said, I'm ready to go. So, did two and a half years in Iraq and got home safe, and, you know,
well, that was it, because we talked college football. You played college. What position did you play?
I played running back. Track was my main thing. I was the only white guy running a 10-6 at the time. So
Well, you ran 10.6?
Oh, yeah. That was my thing was track, actually. I was better at track than I was at football, but okay. I ended up getting a scholarship for the football.
I got you. So you get scholarship, you play football, go into the military, and you tell me, you know, you were in pain and that the cannabinoids have anti-inflammatory things. And I'm like, I didn't know that. And I checked you. I'm like, mm-hmm. After you told me that, I'm like, let's do a quick Google search. I was like, oh, okay, he's right. not that I didn't. I just didn't know. And I will say the best part about it, when you look on here and you'll see like this one, these CBD full spectrum say night use. And then, you know, the tincture, the full spectrum night use. Then you see the ones that say for pain relief. And that's what got you on here, because as our relationship did and all the testimonials. But when we promote this to people, yes, some of your gummies are recreational and they're fun. But what I point out to our readers is, look, you have chronic pain issues, sciatic, you know, bad knee, you know, meniscus issues, whatever it is, or can you not sleep? And when I say, can you not sleep, or when you have chronic pain issues, man, the hands go up. So if you would, real quick, tell us about the fact that they are for chronic pain issues and for people who can't sleep.
Well, yeah, I actually, my wife will tell you, I owned the company for a while before I even used any of the edibles. And my mom passed away a couple of years ago during COVID. And, you know, I have a really, really small family. I come from Macedonia. I was born and raised in Europe. When my mom passed away, I didn't sleep for 5 days. And I literally got to the point where I felt like I was going crazy. Like I had insomnia, and my wife is just like, hey, try some of these gummies, like try it out for once. And she begged me, and I tried it and fell asleep. And man, it's been a blessing for us. I mean, not only has it helped out with our relationship, calmed us both way down, but, you know, got us both sleep. Cause I mean, Charmaine can speak to that. She didn't sleep before as well. Just like naturally she would only get maybe like, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours of sleep a day.
The gummies are for me. Like, I'm like, be quiet. The sleep thing, that's my thing. I haven't slept since I was in like kindergarten. So we initially started, oh, thanks, Jermaine. We appreciate that. When we first started with the gummies, because initially we're just selling flower, and I got a hold of some full spectrum CBD gummies and I took them. I had no idea what to expect. I took a day nap for the first time ever. I woke up and the world looked very different after that. And I was like, Richard, I don't care if we can afford this or not. We are going to start producing gummies because these are amazing. So between him and fixing his knee so that he was not limping around everywhere and me taking my naps, like we just felt like different people. And we kind of just went from there, and it started, you know, with one type of flower, one type of gummies. And then as we listened to our customers, you know, people are like, well, hey, can we make this? Can we make that? And we can't make everything all at one time, obviously, because we're still really a small mom and pop company. A lot of people think we're this massive company, but it's just Richard and I. And then we have two long-term employees who've been with us for several years, and they help out at the store. So it's just four people running this whole company, packing every box, packing every jar, shipping everything. It's just us. So we do try to listen to everybody and take that all into account. You know, but hang in there with us, because we're slowly getting, you know, producing new things every time. But yeah, the gummies are just like for sleep and pain. Like, I've never had anything touch pain the way that our Delta 8 products do. And I mean, the sleep, you can't get that out of a bottle anywhere else. It's fantastic. We've had so many people who come to us with insomnia, and I mean, they are totally different people after a gummy. So,
yeah, my best friend Cheryl has been through it. I mean, just decades of insomnia. And I mean, up until 4:30 at night, just it ruined her life. Tried everything. Like, well, why don't you try this? She's like, you don't think in 3 decades I've freaking tried that, you know? So now she's on the gummies and she's like, okay, I can sleep now.
It hits a little bit different when it's Rogue, because we're very picky about the distillate and the products that we like, the ingredients that we use. So it's like super potent, and we're Texans. And so of course everything's bigger in Texas. So we're going to make sure that our gummies are the hardest hitting. Of course we have some stuff for everybody. But basically a lot of times when you're coming to these products, you've already kind of tried everything else. You're desperate. And that means you need something like a little bit more powerful. And that's what we do. Make sure that you have, we bring all the firepower so that you can get some sleep, so that you can get rid of that pain. Even if it's just for a few hours, it makes a big difference. People who are struggling with daily chronic pain, you don't realize how it affects every aspect of your life. So when you're not in pain anymore, it makes a huge difference.
Or hell, if you can get 8 hours of sleep, it changes your outlook on life and it changes your health. If you don't sleep, you don't live. There's no question to it. They got chocolate gummies now, folks.
The chocolate is my favorite. Unfortunately, we can't sell that in the South too much just because it melts in the mail. So it's almost kind of like a Christmas delicacy.
Mine aren't melted, folks. If you'll swing by LaGrange, I'll hook you up here real quick.
Yeah, we refuse to put a bunch of fake stuff in there to make it not melt. So
I had a long conversation with Richard one time when it comes, because I mean, they're, you gotta learn to make candy, and had to actually buy equipment to do it because the people he sourced it out to didn't do a good job. Very high on their quality standards. So what you're, again, it's Richard, you know, and well, you said you had 2 employees. This is 4 of you are making this. So it's not like it's a giant batch, but it looks that way. So
consistent.
If you have never tried it, remember, if you use promo code Bulldogs10, you get 10% off. So use Bulldogs10. That also lets them know that they heard about Rogue Shop from us. So use promo code Bulldogs10 to let them know. Plus you get 10% off. But Richard, I think the first thing we need to tell people to do is, if you open up that jar the first time, you've never tried one, what did the instructions say?
Well, follow the instructions that comes in the box. Second of all, on our website, we have a chat that me or Charmaine answer, not somebody from Indonesia or a bot or anything like that. So if you come on there and you ask questions, it's going to be us. We're going to give you the whole spiel of how to use it. But most gummies, I'd say start off with like the 10, 12 milligram gummies, cut them in half, start from there, and then adjust your dose from there, from the way you want to feel, because everybody's different. And I'll give you, for example, my wife can take anywhere from 3 to 4 of one that I only take a half of, just naturally. So not that she uses more than me or less than me or anything like that. It's just the way her body processes it compared to the way my body processes it. So you don't want to, don't let a little square or a little pyramid make you think and feel comfortable that, oh, I can just take all these things and eat 3 or 4.
Don't do it.
You'll have a bad day and you'll hate cannabis at the end of the day. So take your time, move up, you know, don't rush into anything.
Yeah. And so take a half one, quarter one, and the instructions will tell you, wait 2 hours.
Yep.
Like, you chew it down, you're like, I don't feel crap.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy who took another one after an hour and then you just, you know.
Touch me.
We see it too much. And, you know, that's not how we want cannabis to be. Our goal is always to get you out the door with the lowest dose to do the biggest job. So if you start small, then you'll find out really quickly what your dosage is. And that's, you know, that saves money too in the end run. And so for those who are using this daily for chronic issues, you know, we want to save you some money and we want you to feel better at the same time. So just low and slow. That's the rule of thumb.
I love it. Hey guys, I really appreciate you joining the show. It means a lot to us. And I think it helps for people to actually see who's behind the Rogue Shop, because you go to the website, it looks like a giant corporation. You have so many different products. You think, wow, this is huge. Maybe it's a little impersonal, you know, or maybe they're just out to get us, whatever. We find out that it's, you know, hey, it's 2 people, and your stories on how you got there, I think it's valuable for people to see. So we really appreciate you guys joining us.
Yeah, and that's why we might not ship your box the minute you order it. It's because it's really us. And like, we have children. So sometimes we're like at choir practice with the kid when you make your order. So it'll go out tomorrow. Okay. Like, hang in there. It's just, we're just real people. But we appreciate you guys' support over the years. We wouldn't be here without all of you guys. So thank you guys so much for hanging in there with us and supporting. We really appreciate you guys.
Hey, and one more thing, Roddy, before we go. There is a special going on right now. It is, the code is UGATHCA20. And that's 20% off of all of our flower. It's THCA. It's like the real deal, recreational. You can also use it for sleep and all that kind of stuff. maybe we'll have a Durow. We've partnered up with a rapper named Durow. He's real famous here in Texas. He created a awesome song called Ice Cream Paint Job. He made us a remix. It's a weed mix. It's going to be called Ice Cream Paint Job 2, and it drops March 22nd. And it's actually a pretty damn good song. Nice. Yeah, so whenever we get a chance, March 22nd, maybe we'll come on the show, bring Durow on, and maybe let you guys hear the song or something like that.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate y'all's time, Roddy.
Hey, no, we appreciate you guys coming on. I'll tweet out the link and the promo code to everybody. Hey, I said 10% off. 20% off is even better. Try it your first time and let us know what you think in the comments section. We appreciate it.
Go Dawgs. See you
guys later.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
That's what we needed. All right. So that's our friends at the Rogue Shop. I appreciate everybody giving them a chance to come on the show and talk with us. Because, again, when we mention them as a sponsor, it's real easy to just kind of, oh, yeah, Rogue Shop. But the reason we brought them on as a sponsor is because Richard told me a story. And I'm like, oh. And he's like, do you have any customers who, you know, your readers who complain about pain?
Yeah.
And they can't sleep. I'm like, hell, I was posting stuff at 2:36 last night. Well, they were talking about Texas. They were all. I was going through TikTok because I was trying to do upload photos from practice the other day onto TikTok because sometimes just photo galleries look good and work there. So I was screwing around with that, and I'm flipping through, and there's these hailstorms in Texas, and these cars are just getting destroyed. These kids come out after school, and every car in the parking lot, all the windows are busted out. That's just nuts. And it just happened. So I'm posting stuff at 2:36, and I know, and all people are responding. So I'm like, all you other insomniacs are up with me. Is it because you can't sleep or you don't sleep? You know, if you don't, that's fine. But if you can't, then I got some gummies for you. They'll take care of you. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this week's show. I appreciate Jed, Trent, Lance hanging out with me and let me bring on our sponsors and talk about it. And I think the fact that we had stuff on Juju, Lewis, number one quarterback, number one offensive tackle, and David Sanders, Elijah Griffin, Justice Terry, Zion Grady. Who else did we touch on? Tylan Taylor, CJ Wiley. If you didn't get enough content out of tonight's show, I don't know what we can do for you. I think we covered everything. Anyway, we'll try to be back next week, next Monday, because, hey, who's visiting this weekend?
Taylan Taylor is on Saturday. Let's see what else we got. Tomorrow there's some guys coming in, including quarterback Brody McWhorter from Georgia. Marcus Harris, a receiver from California, is here on Thursday. And then I'm sure there'll be more visitors.
We need to talk about Zollers next week.
Do what?
We need to talk about the quarterback Zollers next week.
Yep. Yeah, another guy who should be here at some point this spring. So, yeah, it's real busy in the spring, guys coming in all through the week to see practices and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's going to be a loaded next month or so over on the old vault for sure.
And be sure to tune in. Well, tomorrow night, Georgia has the adversity NIT game, but we do get to watch part of practice tomorrow. So we should have a pretty good post-practice wrap up, Jed and I, but everybody else who goes will have their practice observations. So should be very interesting. A lot of stuff to cover. Lance will go to practice. Maybe if we can get another photo availability, he'll put out a photo gallery, and I'll put out one tomorrow as well. If they let photos, if not, we'll have his observations, my observations, Jed's, Patrick's, and Dash's observations. So should be a lot of fun stuff coming at UGASports.com. Anyway, we will see you next week, folks. Take care.